We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, the NBA draft happened tonight. Did you know that?
I didn't know until Tuesday, but the NBA draft did happen tonight on a Thursday. And I am as excited as anybody could be after doing a 6-hour cram session today on the NBA draft. So, Sam, are you happy?
You know, we called it in the pre-draft show. We got our friend, official Light Years insider Kevin O'Connor on the show. KOC told us Patrick Baldwin is going to be the pick for the Warriors. And what happens? You know, like I said, only place you can come to for the news, Light Years. This is just a factual statement. At this point, like, when's the last time either of you or I have been wrong? 2002? I can't remember. Anyway, the Warriors select Patrick Baldwin, number 28. I think it was a value move. Like, if you walk through the whole thing, we could be honest. There's no one the Warriors were going to draft who is going to be a major rotation piece next year. So you're drafting for the future, which is fine. You might as well take the highest upside guy. And Baldwin, coming into his freshman year, was supposed to be a top 10 pick. Everything goes wrong for him. And so now he's available at 28. And I think the Warriors, who have proven that they are able to develop players and trending towards being a high development organization, they're like, he's got the talent. We don't need him immediately. This is the move. Get the guy in here who has the highest upside, and let's see how it plays out.
I 100% agree. I'm not going to sit here and act like Patrick Baldwin was 13 on my draft board. I didn't have a draft board. But to me, there are a couple of things that I felt were important that the Warriors were going to do. You already mentioned a few. To me, it's you don't draft someone who's low upside, which is not Patrick Baldwin. You don't draft someone who's an undersized point guard, because I think there were kind of rumblings that the Warriors were looking at somewhat of a point guard to take at that spot. You don't do that because you've already got a couple guys that can do that. That's just not where the NBA is unless you've got the greatest point guard of our time. And to me, you always want to look at someone who's a wing and a shooter and athleticism, right? So it looks like, just looking at Baldwin, that he's 2 out of 3. It looks like he's a great shooter, even though the numbers don't suggest it. And he's good size on him. The only thing, it looks like he's just not athletic, Sam. But maybe they can work around that. Maybe they can figure out how to help him play defense. But I thought the upside is there. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so he had an ankle issue all year. Obviously, Warrior fans familiar with the ankle issue. So I don't know what his total athletic upside is. I just know he was limited this year. I would assume if the Warriors took him, they think that they can get that ankle right and they can work him to some sort of level. But any way you slice it, like, he's not a freak athlete. He's more of an Otto Porter type athlete. Like, when I look at him, I'm going to be honest with you. When I look at him, I think he could be Otto Porter. And I mean that as a compliment. I mean, like, Wizards Otto.
Are you talking about peak Otto Porter?
Yeah, I'm talking 6'9", 7-plus wingspan. Yeah. The thing that pops when you watch Patrick Baldwin play is he's high IQ. His dad's a coach. He's been around. Yeah, exactly. It's cliche, but it's like understanding how to move off ball, understanding how to make the right pass. Like, he knows how to play the game. He, coming out of high school, people thought he had some sort of Paul George, Kevin Durant-esque upside. Like, those are silly comps for anyone. But you know what I'm saying? I think the big thing when you watch him, you're like, okay, he's not like the top 1% wing athlete, but he's got a lot of tools that suggest to me, if he gets his body right and he continues developing, he could be an NBA player. And honestly, if you get an NBA player at 28, that's useful. And like, more importantly, he has the skill set that you want an NBA player, because like, there's no amount of 6'9 high IQ guys who can guard a couple positions that are too many in a rotation. So even if we're talking about, and I just want to be clear, I'm talking 2 to 3 years down the line. I'm not talking
about this year. Yeah, the project one is a big one. I'm glad you pointed that out. He, what is he, 19? I mean, just like Kuminga coming in, right? He's at least 2 to 3 years away. I would say at least 2 years away. I mean, a couple of things with him that are interesting too. You mentioned Otto Porter. I mean, prime Otto Porter is a max contract player, whether you want to argue he deserves it or not. That was a very, very good player, mainly because he was also great on defense as a wing defender.
Yeah, a little more versatile, more of a 3 to 4 position defender than like, you know, Coronado's a good big.
Maybe 4 and 5, right? So, yeah, so this, exactly. This guy maybe, hey, we'll see. I mean, Klay Thompson coming out of college was supposed to be a terrible defender, and Klay ended up being one of the best two-way guard wings of all time, right? So Cam Johnson, I saw some people throw that out there. I thought that's interesting just because you got a big guy that can shoot the rock.
Not a terrible comp either. Or it's like maybe the defensive versatility doesn't come around at the level you want, but like, still big, still can shoot, still not like a total sieve.
Yep. I think that's – the Warriors, if a team can work on someone defensively, I think the Warriors could do that. I just like the way they went about it, Sam. I just like that they said, hey, as friend of the show Kevin Durant says, it's a wings league, baby. So I'm glad they took two last year with Kuminga and Moody. I think we were happy with that. And then this year they took a third one, and it makes a lot of sense. He's maybe more like, he's kind of like maybe in more of a Moody type than a Kuminga type, because Moody's a very good shooter.
Yeah, he might be more of a big, but I think, you know, you know what I sometimes think about? Looney was a small forward
coming out.
Draymond was a small forward. Mm-hmm. They both played bigs. Like, I'm going off the top of the head, but I feel like if a guy comes up as a wing, you have more potential to kind of move him to another position than anything else. Like, if a guy is a center in high school, he's not going to become a small forward in college or pros. You know what I'm saying? Right. But if a guy is a small forward at a lower level and he has the requisite size, you can always push him up a position. Like, that's what the Warriors do with Looney. Let's be honest about it. Looney was supposed to be a hybrid forward who guarded every position. And then he had a bunch of injuries, but he still kind of had the idea of how to play the game from being a wing all those years, and developed himself into being a really nice big man. I think multi-skill guys who are used to playing on the wings, if they have the requisite physical skills and they want it, you can figure out a way to develop them. Even though, like, I don't think the Warriors drafted Looney thinking he was going to be Moses Malone, as we said. Like, they drafted him thinking he was going to be a forward, and he just ended up being one of the best rebounders.
So, and that, well, now he's their number one free agency priority, right? That now they have to re-sign him, or you know, maybe they're kind of screwed without Looney as the big too. So it is crazy that you point that out. The other thing too is you mentioned the IQ. Coach's son, weird story, because he went to play for his dad. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I don't even know what that school is.
And it ended up killing him.
Right. Because his dad gets fired. He was hurt, then pulls out. Team is terrible. He's not the type of player that I think is like, oh, I'm going to average 35 points a game because I can just chuck up shots now. Although it looks like he did chuck up shots, but he doesn't have that talent, right? So I think it backfired on him a little bit. But the IQ stuff is peak Warriors, right? From what you hear about the kid, he's extremely smart. He can pass. He can cut. That's the type of stuff where I bet you Steve Kerr. I don't think Steve Kerr makes a decision in terms of who to draft. Actually, we know that he doesn't. But I'm sure he sat there and said, if you're going to pick a guy right? If you're going to pick a guy that's going to play the style that I want to coach, right, that's the type of player. Like, we don't need another version of Kelly Oubre or Kent Bazemore. This is a guy who not only has high upside, but can fit into a system. I think same way as Moody is. Like, Moody's a perfect fit. Like, to me, it's just very similar in those type of players. I think Kuminga's different because Kuminga just has so much talent. You just pick him, right? But with him and Moody, but those even are with two him, guys.
He's multi-skill. Like, it doesn't take a genius to see all the tools that Kuminga has. Like, does he put them all together? We're hopeful. We'll see. But, like, it doesn't take, you know, you don't need to be Jerry West out here, like, scouting and, you know, other parts to see all the tools he has. So,
don't need to be Grant Lifman out here, you know?
friend of the show. I want to hit on the other two Warrior draft picks before we bring on our guy, Evan. Ryan Rollins, huh? Did not see that one coming. Move up to 44, trade 51. Unclear the financial compensation. It does feel like they probably paid a little more to move up.
Yeah, $2 million. That's crazy.
I don't think they sold 51 for more than that. But you know, Joey Lightyear's just always spending away.
I think he just gets bored and he's just like he gets. It's like, you know, when you do a fantasy draft, they're just like in an auction draft. They're just like, well, I'm bored. I hate
auction drafts because I'm textbook guy who's like, yep, I'm bored, and all of a sudden it's like, what the
value.
Hell? Why did I pay $72 for Bradley Beal? I'm bored. I got into a bidding war just to keep myself stimulating. No.
That's what Lakeham does. Although I think you're with me. I think this was a very cool, very, very cool pick. Very good pick.
Yeah, another guy who and this one I'm more curious about, and we'll find out in the coming weeks if he's gonna be on the main roster or two way. My gut says they think they picked him knowing he'd accept a two way. We'll see. I don't wanna put that out there as if it's news. Sure. So I don't know. But you know, 6'3", 6'10" wingspan, toolsy combo guard, another Michigan guy. By the way, can we talk about this? The Warriors are batting like 800 or 900 with Midwest guys. If you think about it, Draymond Green, obviously a success. Jordan Poole, a success. Looney, a success. They draft, European Derrick Rose, Nedovich.
Nedovich, our guy.
It's a bust. They do much better with Midwest guys. They just do. And Rollins and Patrick Baldwin are Midwest guys.
Wow.
I don't know if I, you know, I'm obviously trying to pull something out of nowhere here, but like it does feel like they have a better read on those guys.
Well, whoever's the scout in the mid, that's the guy. That's
Draymond,
the one that we want to. You see the video of Draymond standing over Steve Kerr?
So someone in the mentions is going Jacob Evans, and I'm just going to say we're going to go with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know who that is. We'll keep it moving. Ryan Rollins has the pick, though. I never heard of him. I at least had heard of Patrick Baldwin. I had a couple friends text me like, hey, you should look out for Baldwin. He might be a guy that the Warriors looking at. Cool. But Ryan Rollins, I had never heard about. Like you said, second rounder. I think some people had him in the late first, which makes sense. I found it fascinating that the Warriors moved up for this guy for whatever reason. Because I think you were hearing that the Warriors were looking at a big point guard. So maybe instead of someone like Nembhard, who I know was thrown around on Twitter a lot, maybe it was this guy. Maybe Ryan Rollins was the guy that they had tabbed, and that's why they moved up to get him. So
we know they like versatile defenders. We know they like they're not a team who wants a 5'10 point general, you know. But it's
Chioza, literally.
First off, world champion Chris Chioza. That's my guy. I hope they re-sign him. Favorite player on the roster.
Well, he can't be two way anymore. So you're right. Maybe this guy's two way. The 6'10 wingspan doesn't make any sense to me. I feel like that's a lie. It can't be true.
I mean,
come on.
That's the same build that like George Hill has. You know what I mean? Like one of those guys who are just like, God, that's a long dude.
Boss.
Toolsy guy. I'm willing to bet it's. We'll find out. It's too early to determine, but I'm assuming two way. Yep. You know, development project. I like it because they want to be that developmental organization. They're showing they can do it. So take your shots, you know, do it.
Yep. Yep. Watching some of the scouting reports and stuff, it does seem like he's a smart player. Also can shoot it from the mid range a lot. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Brogdon, especially with the pedigree where he's just a late pick. Very like weird hesitation. Like he's not going too fast. He doesn't have the Jordan Poole where he doesn't have like quick first step. And doesn't go crazy. He's always in control. So interesting player. I think it would just be fun to see someone like him. I think the Warriors needed someone in summer league that was running the point. So maybe someone like him could be cool. I just think the summer league team's going to be incredible, Sam. I mean, if Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman play, then you throw Baldwin and Rollins out there. I mean, I might watch those games. Might be more fun to watch than the regular season games in December. I gotta tell you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's bring up friend of the show, Evan.
Let's go.
Let's get Evan up here. Evan, yes. our official draft insider. Evan, what's up, man?
Hey guys, fun night. I think you guys, you hit a lot of the stuff I was going to say. I think, you know, I didn't have the highest grade on both these guys, but like, I definitely had Rollins, like, even fringe first, back in like January or February. So,
give us. By the way, we need to back this up so people know, Evan, from Golden State of Mind fame and maybe my favorite person on the draft on Warriors Twitter here. Walk us through kind of where you're at with Rollins overall as a prospect. Let's back the whole thing up.
So the first time I watched, so the way most of these prospects come up on my radar is through stats, right? So I have this newsletter that I send out where I aggregate like daily stats, and this guy Rollins, his name popped up like pretty much all year. He was popping up. And so, you know, normally I go through and I kind of weed out guys like, oh, this guy's 5'9", you know, this guy's 7'2", 300 pounds. Like those aren't prospects. Rollins, you know, he's not too small. He's not tiny, but I mean, he's small, but you kind of pay attention. And then you watch a little film on him and you're like, hey, this guy like is pretty interesting. He can handle the ball. He's athletic. Actually, the comp that first came to my mind, if you guys watch, I know you watch Santa Cruz, was Jeff Doughton. Who actually, ooh, okay. Yeah, he played like, I think he played literally like 4 minutes during the season for us. But so that was, you know, that was just like first came into my mind thinking like Ryan Rollins, like he's completely fringe prospect. So I think it's fair to say like maybe that's like a Jeff Doughton. But he you know, he might have more game than Doughton. You know, maybe he's a better passer. I think in a similar, the issue with Rollins is really he needs to shoot. So he shot in two seasons 30% from three, 80% from the line. So like, I think he's more the development. I think he's the developmental guy. Like for sure he's going to be. They're both going to be in the G League to start.
Yeah,
I think
that goes without saying.
I think Rollins is there most of the season. I mean, you know, he's got to shoot.
80% from the line. That's promising. If you're talking about getting to league average from three, that's
right. The other thing about Rollins is he's super young. So like he is a sophomore, but he doesn't turn 20 until July 3rd, like next week. If he was a freshman, he'd be like almost the youngest freshman in the class. So like, it's always nice when you get a guy that's like super young for his class. So yeah, I'd say Rollins is pretty interesting. Does have freakishly long arms. If you watch the combine, like he had a couple of insane blocks like during the scrimmages, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? So he's interesting, but yeah, he definitely has to shoot. So, you know, hold your breath there. Don't hold your breath on that one.
Definitely. I mean, so I like that because it's, you know, a toolsy bet. He's going to spend the year in Santa Cruz. Hopefully it's on a two-way or something like that where they're not giving him a roster spot because they need the roster spots. So that's interesting. Let's talk Patrick Baldwin, though, real quick, because Patrick Baldwin is, I don't want to say controversial, but it's like the from where he was hype-wise before the draft to where he got now, you don't see that every year.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting because, I mean, when I looked into Patrick Baldwin, I wasn't into him. I don't think anybody was because he played really terribly and then he got injured. But he kind of made a comeback at the combine because it turns out he's huge. He's basically like Kevon Looney size. So my thought was like, here's a guy who I think people thought was going to be like, you know, quote unquote, next KD, like this, or, you know, like Michael Porter, like this incredible shooter that obviously hasn't happened. But he's huge and he's very unathletic. That's the thing. So he has.
How much of that is that his ankle clearly was an issue?
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's not an explosive athlete before that, but like when you throw that in there, it makes him look worse.
I think obviously that's the hope that like maybe this is still lingering, you know, injury issues, but it does make you think. Like my first thought about Baldwin, like at the combine, was like, hey, this is kind of the Looney path. You got a guy who had. He was literally like number one prospect at some point in his high school class. Then he chooses to go to this Milwaukee to play for his dad. So he's like a coach's son. The team was terrible. He was terrible. Then he gets injured. And so he had just a shit first year, you know, and he loses all his value. And I remember during that time with the Looney pick, you know, everybody's like, well, he was a top prospect, but if you can get him at 30, you know, where we got him, maybe you could salvage his career. So at this point, I'm like, Myers and you know, their staff, they've earned this pull, basically. Like this is a lottery. This is a slot machine. And I'm like, maybe I had other guys higher on my board. But if there's a team that I'm like, yeah, okay, I think you guys have earned this the right to get this pull. So I'm, you know, fairly optimistic. I think he definitely plays in the G League and you know, figures things out. But there's some chance he could eventually, you know, be a real player.
I don't want to throw you on the spot, Evan, but I am because there's two more names. The Warriors end up with Gui Santos. I think that's how you say it.
I think it's Gui.
Gui.
Obviously, Andy's into the
so literally. Literally, that's one guy completely off my radar, except that a couple of days ago I saw his name on a analytics model, and he was like number 12. He was like number 12 in the model. I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Might want to change the model. But yeah. The Warriors also got a two-way guy. Got
the spreadsheet out.
Oh, who's a two-way? I haven't seen it.
Memphis guard, Lester Quinones.
Lester Quinones. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
This is who I call Shorts Guy. This is a famous player in my Twitter timeline from like 3 years ago.
So when my buddy just texted me the same thing, by the way.
When he was a freshman, I don't think he wears these shorts anymore, but like he wore these super, super shorts that made his leg like he was like going to like the beach or something to like tan his legs. And like when he was a freshman, I really liked him. Like I thought he was super interesting. He's a fun player. Like he can pass, he has size. I think for him, it never really all came together, but like, and it, you know, it's gotta be the shooting and defense and things like that. And Memphis was just a total shit show for the last few years. But yeah, that's fun. I actually like it. Just call him Shorts Guy.
That's incredible.
I did myself a favor and Googled it and I get it. So, yeah. Evan, appreciate you hopping through.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Dude, right. He knows everyone. He freaking knows everyone. This is the two-way dude, and he knows him from 3 years
ago. You
know,
ago. Evan's resident Lightyear's draft expert. It is, hey, you got to be in tune into college to know all the ins and outs, and my man is. So.
Oh, my God. Incredible.
All right, if you want to call in, press the button. We're ready to get to the goons.
Oh, here we go.
What's up, Dylan? How you doing, man?
Not much. I'm going to tell you guys, I don't have a lot of deep insight to the draft. Like most people, I remembered it was happening as we were, you know, drunkenly celebrating the championship. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the Patrick Baldwin pick, but I know, like, he's not going to play for, like, 2 years. Like, this is a G League, you know, a G League draft. So I'm like you guys, I'm kind of really excited to see, like, what the mix looks like on the G League. And, you know, quite frankly, what Mr. Wiseman looks like, you know, with these guys. So, yeah.
Big Jim.
Big Jim.
Big Jim. So,
appreciate you calling in. Andy, what were you saying about that you saw?
Jamari Bouye is going to be a Miami Heat. So I thought that was pretty cool because he's one of my favorite players to watch this during the March Madness season.
I like it. I love it. All right, let's get to our guy, SF Bay Drummer. By the way, if you tried to call in 2 minutes ago and there was technical issues, try now. What's up, man?
Yo, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? I ain't talked to you guys in a minute. But, you know, I looked at the draft. I paid attention, I guess, to who we drafted. And, you know, I'm happy to have some projects on the line. Looks like we're going to have some wings, you know, for the future. You know, I'm just happy that we had a parade. It looks like the real team in blue and gold from up north knows how to have a parade. So the Rams should actually come up our colors and go back to Navy. But other than that, you know, let's go Warriors. And, you know, I'm excited for free agency and see who wants to flock over and get a ring.
What's up, man? I appreciate it. By the way, I appreciate the Ram slander out of nowhere. I hadn't even thought about their fake parade. Like, they have 8 fans in L.A. It's our guy, Domin, Rob Lowe, and, like, I don't know, Sean McVay. That's like the entire fan base. Like, I don't even think like half their players would wear other teams' jerseys if they could. You know, it's not a I'm sorry. It's just not the same. It's not the same as Warrior Parade down Market Street.
No. It's LA, man. You know how LA is. Everything's fake out there. Sometimes it's a good thing though. You know.
Anyway, save that for the post show. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, just want 2 quick ones. First, for Lester Quiñones, he's one of the rare guys who actually played college basketball games with James Wiseman. So that's a pretty...
Oh, are you saying they signed him to throw lobs to Wiseman to make him feel better?
Oh, my God. When Evans at Memphis, it should have clicked.
He played in all 3 of James Wiseman's Memphis games as his teammate. So that's a pretty
hold it in the chat. Score. Is he the Wiseman whisperer?
perhaps, who knows? But also, and my suspicion was this when they traded up. But does the fact that Hollins is probably actually a 15-man roster guy and not a 2-way guy kind of change how you view that pick? And that's something apparently that Myers just said to the media.
Yeah, it's interesting. It looks like he's going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I mean, it depends on what the free agency is going to start. We have no idea. It does tell me a couple things, though, Sam. I don't think it'll impact them looking to re-sign the core guys, Looney, GP2, if they can get Andre, Otto. Like, if they can get those guys, they'll get those guys. But I do think three guys are off the roster. I think you can imagine who. I think Lee's gone. I think JTA is gone. I think Bielitz is gone. Like, I don't think those guys are coming back.
Maybe, or some combination of them. I do think you're right. I do think that they want to have a couple developmental spots on the big roster.
As if there isn't enough already.
Yeah, I mean,
I know. I'm just saying.
Again, my personal opinion is it does not matter if they bring back the three free agents that they have. If they bring back GP2,
right? Looney,
Otto Porter, and Looney, because now you're talking like we've been through this, and I'm going to repeat it right now for the show. All right, under contract, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Wiggins,
Poole.
Poole. That's five guys. And then obviously you got Kuminga, Wiseman, and Moody as three like high potential development guys. So that's eight guys. If you have three vets of GP2,
right,
Otto Porter, and Looney's caliber, so, now you got 11 guys.
Right.
That's a pretty solid rotation. It's okay right. If you have a Patrick Baldwin and a Rollins behind those guys if you have a strong 11 in front of them, of course.
Right. Right. So it doesn't affect. You're saying, though, it doesn't affect, and I agree, it doesn't affect them trying to re-sign those three guys, which is the most important part of the offseason.
No, it shouldn't. It doesn't change the financials. Like, it's still going to cost them a lot of money to re-sign those guys. It doesn't make it less. So I want to see how it plays out because, in my opinion, they do need 2 to 3 veterans and not just, like, kind of, you know, put everything in the hands of Moses Moody and Kuminga.
No, I don't think they'll go down that route either. So I'm with you.
All right, we'll keep moving. Let's go to Zach up here.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on?
Yeah, I think just my overall takeaway on Baldwin is I think, you know, whatever happens with his body is probably going to determine where he is because he's definitely going to shoot and he's big, but he looks pretty slow, to be honest. And I was listening to Sam Vecenie and he said his testing numbers were like backup center level at the combine in terms of explosiveness, which is not ideal. But you know, I think whatever they did with Looney, where he was this year, he was stronger and also like dunking more. And I think Poole has gotten stronger and a little quicker since he's been in the system. And, you know, guys do develop physically. So I just think that's probably going to determine how much success he has long term.
Yeah. Zach, I can't disagree with you on that one. And that's kind of why, you know, I think he's a multi-year developmental project. It's not ready to play in the NBA. Just isn't.
And that's
fine. But it's just like how long, you know, it's just like you can improve your athleticism.
He's also not healthy. Apparently, Bob Myers is saying that Rick Celebrini literally went and took a look at him and said, yeah, he's not healthy. Like his ankle's just not 100%. So I'm starting to think I doubt he plays summer league. I don't think it's a situation where it's a serious injury. I don't think it's like a torn meniscus, right? So like our guy Big Jimmy. So I think he'll be fine. But, yeah, he's just – that may have affected part of the combine stuff, like the Warriors.
No, totally. Yeah. I mean, and I've felt that the whole way through.
Okay.
You watch the film on him. He's not a terrible athlete. You watch the film on him the last year, he looks like a terrible athlete. And that's health. Like, get a guy's body straight. Like, he's not going to turn into, you know, like peak Paul George throwing down dunks. But he's going to be a better athlete, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, move forward. My point is, I agree with you. He's not healthy, and that's part of the reason he's a little bit of a project. Archie, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
No, perfect. I don't feel good or bad about PBJ getting picked up. I think the big thing for him is development. I think it's good that Warriors brass overall did draft multiple players just from a development standpoint to kind of light a fire under Kuminga, Moody, just to let them know like spots they have to be earned more so than just given. So I think that's good moving forward. I love the fact that we spend some cash just to do it with all of the, you know, stuff that we've kind of been hearing from the media as far as like, oh, they just have unlimited money, yada, yada, yada. So it was really cool to see Lacob just not really bat an eye to put some
pretty
money
funny on. Stuff. Pretty funny yeah. stuff.
I had one thing that was non-draft related, but it was to the Warriors. That's something that I think Bob Myers said. I love the fact that, you know, coaching in the front office is very honest for the most part. But I did not really care for the statement that was kind of made as far as how they felt of us being a championship contender going into the playoffs this year. Not because they weren't being truthful. It just kind of sometimes plays into how we feel as fans when we're watching.
What did they say?
I think it was Bob Myers was speaking about a conversation he had with Kerr going into the playoffs where they both felt.
Yeah,
I know which conversation you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, Sam? It was, you know, the thing is, it's like you don't get honesty with a lot of organizations for the most part. But I felt like that was one of those rare moments where it's like, that's not the thing you want to be totally honest about, because we look at it from a different perspective, of course, and of course they do. But to not really have that belief in the team, especially when you have what you have on the team, both with older players as well as the players you were developing, to not see that potentially happen even in this season, I just kind of thought it was crazy. So it kind of irked me, but I did like the draft this year.
I'm with you, Archie. Appreciate the call, Andy. I sent you the full quote. I sent you the full quote.
I knew the quote. I just wanted people. There's people that don't know it, so I figured I'd you know, have them talk about it.
The quote is, just to be clear, Bob Myers said sometime before the playoffs to Steve Kerr, I don't know if this is a championship team. Myers said he kind of agrees. He said they had a good laugh about it after the chip, saying, what do we know? I want to throw one thing out there before I let Andy react to this, which is I do think there was some reference to like the injuries they were going through at that point was like the major driver of that quote. Like Draymond was hurt, Steph and all that sort of stuff. But with that said, I turn the floor over to Andy.
Hey, they won the championship. I mean, like, these guys aren't going to say that if they didn't win a championship. I also think these guys are tongue in cheek. You know how Steve Kerr and Bob Myers are, man. These guys are always – everything's a joke. Everything's funny. Everything's a quip. You know what I mean? Everything's kind of witty with these guys. Of course they'll say some bullshit like this. So I don't know if I take it that seriously. I think they're just having a little bit of fun because they know they won the title. They know they're champions. So I don't know. I don't know how much it doesn't annoy me. But then again, nothing annoys me now, Sam, after the fourth title. Nothing annoys me.
I don't care who they draft. Play the results. Play the results.
It's how life goes, man. It's the results that matter.
William, what's up, man?
Yep. So I only have like two things. First off, Green Room, fix your app, bro. I was trying to go live for the Game 6 celebration and just publicly apologize for Wiggins, basically for turning into Rodman and Pippen hybrid. So you know what? He's a Warriors wiper. Forget it. It is what it is. But the second thing and more fun question is, like, what is more likely to happen? Joku and Moody competing for Summer League MVP, or Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving not being able to figure it out and leaving after spending a little bit of time? Appreciate that.
William, I appreciate that. So I know how I feel, because I don't think Kuminga or Moody are going to play more than one game in Summer League, just based off of what I've seen of previous teams in Summer League. I think Kuminga is going to play one game in Summer League, throw down 18 dunks, hype Andy and me up. You know, at one point, Andy will get on Twitter and be like, Giannis 2.0. and then that's it. He's going to go party in Vegas and he's going to go on vacation. Meanwhile, I think KD and Kyrie is going to drag out, and it's going to be hilarious to watch.
We should probably talk some KD and Kyrie, but man,
well, we're here now.
What an absolute debacle in Brooklyn, man. I know you've heard rumblings that KD hasn't been happy about things over there too in the last few months. So this doesn't necessarily come as a surprise, but the fact that it's now public is pretty funny. Just watching, it's just like everyone's saying, man, who would have thought? Who would have thought that a combination of Kyrie and KD would not lead to a great partnership from a team perspective? Like, who would have known?
I just love Kyrie acting like a victim here. He's like, they're not going to give me a full max? What? It's like, bro, dude, you haven't played basketball in 3 years. Like, what are we doing here? It's always something. Like, who takes PTO in the NBA? You know, like, come on, man.
I mean, he's not even taking PTO. He's just refusing to work for like 80% of the time. Yeah, right. But, you know, like, the guy is absolutely ridiculous. The funny part about Kyrie is, like, people are like, oh, my God, he averaged 30-plus points on you know, whatever shooting for them. I'm like, yeah, he plays once a week. He's playing once a week. Of course he's killing people. These terrible defenses that are playing every other day. So what an absolute joke.
What does Steph shoot if he only plays once a week and he has fresh legs to just – dissect defenses, you know? It gets to the point, and like, I get KD's perspective, which is like, well, if he leaves, I don't have anything here. But I don't know, man.
It's, brother, you did it to yourself. I'm not gonna say you deserve it, but shit, man, like, you chose to leave and go team with KD. With Kyrie, you got to team up with anyone else? I mean, shit, probably should have go teamed up with Kawhi or something.
Who also hasn't played. But yeah, that's true. But hey, at least he has an excuse.
Yeah, Kawhi cares. Oh, my goodness. We'll see how it goes in Brooklyn. Kuminga and Moody, man, I do want to see them play one game in Summer League, like you're saying. They're probably not going to play in the Vegas Summer League, huh? Do you think they'll play in that one?
No, I think they will. I think they will.
Okay.
My gut feeling, and we'll find out in the next week, is they play the Friday night game so that they can be in Vegas on Friday night.
You think they'll play the California Classic in Chase?
I don't know. We'll see.
Those guys are too good now anyway, right? Those guys averaging like 20, 30 points in G League. Like, what are they doing in the Summer League, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to do what most second-year players do, which is play the Friday night showcase to hype people up and then get their Friday night in Vegas.
It's pretty good.
It's the Andy Lou move.
Hey,
I'm going here for business, guys.
Yeah, the more important piece is they need James Wiseman to be healthy and playing that one. But we'll keep it moving.
VZ, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much.
Can we talk free agency?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you got for us?
It's looking bleak for our boy Kevin.
I wouldn't mind him back. I wouldn't mind world dominance again. Like, damn. You know, make the NBA cry again. But he's Kevin. Probably end up with like CP.
Ooh, you think he's gonna end up on the Suns?
Yeah, most likely. He's a snake, bro. Like, it's Kevin. It's Kevin. Let's not forget. How likely is it that we keep our rotation pieces that won like the championship, especially Otto, big wing, big value? How likely is it that we keep him? I'm feeling kind of skeptical, but how likely is it?
VZ, appreciate the call. One, Andy, I allowed myself to imagine if Kevin Durant leaves, and in my mind, I'm sitting here going, he's going to go to Memphis. Just because they talk so much about the Warriors.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know you can see it in your mind.
Oh,
you're envisioning it right now.
What is I literally just envisioned it. So what's the trade? What's the move there? Do they trade Jaren Jackson? No way.
It's the poo-poo platter of like Zaire and Dylan and like every pick. Right. And like that's our, like the move's about the picks, not about like those guys.
So it's Jaw, JJJ, and KD. I mean, that's a squad.
it's objectively a squad.
It's a squad. Oh my God. Hey, honestly, I kind of want it. I kind of need it. That is, I mean, just KD playing with the new age modern version of Russell Westbrook in Ja Morant. I mean, this is perfect. I mean, JJJ, who's the version of Serge Ibaka. I mean, this is beautiful. I mean, we need it.
Jaw's a little more cerebral, but I hear you. I hear you on that. I think
they're both better versions, but yeah, right.
To VZ's point, okay, who do the Warriors keep? So obviously three free agents that we're going to be talking about at least for the next week and a half until it's official. Looney, GP2, Otto Porter.
So I think they keep two. I've waffled on the first one's Looney. They keep Looney. I think that's obvious.
I think you and I are aligned on this one.
Yeah.
Not only would I be heartbroken, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
If someone stole Looney from them, that's the one. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if GP got left. I wouldn't be surprised if Otto left. If someone comes in and takes Looney, I'd be like, come on.
I might cry.
I didn't see that one coming. That's our guy.
You think I keep thinking that GP2 is going to stay, and I think Otto's gone. The more I think about it, the more I do feel like Otto was so injured all season that I just don't think anybody's given him that much money. He's just not healthy enough. So as much as it hurts me to say, I think there's a higher chance of GP2 leaving for something like 8, 10
million. Like the Caruso deal?
What did Caruso get? Like more than 10?
He got 10. He got 4 for 40.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I breaks my heart. Do you feel the same way?
I mean, all inclinations are they're more interested in keeping GP2 than Otto.
I think it's the right choice. It's the right move.
I mean, it is just because I don't know if Otto's gonna have a year as healthy as he did again. And I don't mean that. Like, I want Otto to stay. I really enjoyed his play, but the dude has a lot of physical issues.
And he wasn't even that healthy. That's the thing. That's the tough part about Otto.
No, but I'm with you. I do think GP's more likely to be the one that there's a team makes them feel uncomfortable about, you know? So we'll see.
If I were the Lakers, or if I were something with maybe I have some cap. No, not many teams have that much cap space, but throwing them a 330 or 4, I would with GP2 more than Otto, right? If he was that way. I guess if you're Bob Myers or whoever, the question is who can we replace with Kuminga and Moody? Out of GP and Otto.
It's probably Otto.
Yeah.
Because neither of those guys are point of attack defenders like GP, no. And neither of those guys are centers. Like Looney held it down, man. So.
Yep. I mean, I think Moody's about to get 15, 20 minutes next season. I think same with Kuminga.
He should.
Those two guys are going to get real minutes. They're going to play real minutes.
All right, Mikus, what's up, bro?
Hey, folks. Let's say we leave the bar. Sorry.
What a legend.
Just got off of work, had to stop and grab a drink or two, enjoy the draft.
Of course.
Should show that it's the Brooklyn Nets, the Los Angeles Lakers, all good stuff. Love the pick, love, KOC called it. He's doing the turnaround, no little step three. And I was sold. I saw the first shot. I was like, I'm sold. I don't know Patrick Baldwin at all. Won't act like I know anything about him. I know he's got the injuries, but stash him. And hey, 2028's looking real nice. So let's plan for it. But I don't know if anybody's talked about this, but it's been discussed. I got a couple questions, obviously, but have who do we think is being eyed to step up and take the Mike Brown role? Do we think that we're going to hire internally and promote somebody? Oh, do we think
it's Kenny?
Is Kenny taking Mike Brown's role?
Yeah.
Okay, because yeah. I was wondering. I saw some people on the timeline were talking about Vogel and maybe going out and looking for a defensive-minded assistant coach. I thought that was interesting, but okay, if it's Kenny, it's Kenny. Never mind. How many minutes per game are we expecting out of Moody, Kuminga, and Wiseman next season? Do we anticipate them all being part of the main 11-man rotation? And let's operate when I ask this, that Looney, Porter, and Otto are all returning, as well as the core four, because obviously Andrew Wiggins' core four is real, and Jordan Poole. But let's operate that Andre is also not back. And lastly, what's our expectation for Clay next year? He's going to have his first full healthy offseason for the first time since 2018-2019. And usually when people have these lower leg injuries like that, their first year, they're not as good, but by that second year, they've had some time to recover, get better. Are we expecting a much better version, or maybe not a much better version, but a better version of Clay with his lateral quickness, his defensive abilities, his shooting consistency. Are we expecting that to return a little bit, or are we more on the camp of he's older, he's washed, he'll still have his, not washed, but he'll still have his moments of, you know, greatness, but as a whole, we can kind of forget that 2017, 2018 Clay, and it's more of a close to what we saw this year. Are we thinking this offseason and all that will help him? What do we think?
There you go.
All right, Mikus, appreciate the call. To the first one, I kind of think they're going to all play 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
That's my guess. There'll be games where they play 10-ish. There'll be games where they play 30, and I think it's going to come out to 20. Just to put perspective into this, Andy, Kuminga averaged 16.9 minutes per game last year.
Okay, interesting.
And, you know, he was kind of yo-yoed a little bit. I think he's going to be closer to 20 this year. I think Moody, I was surprised he didn't play more down the stretch, but like he's clearly a guy who can give you like 15 to 20 minutes a game.
Easily.
Be that like backup wing behind Clay, and kind of, you know, there'll be some games where he plays 30 minutes and there'll be some games where it's like more like 12 and I'll average about 20. And then Wiseman, you know, he's going to get 20 minutes if he's healthy. Like, that's a thing.
So, that's the one I'll push back on. I'm not sure if that's true.
Okay.
I don't. Moody and Kuminga, I feel confident that they're going to be able to play well. It just, to me, I feel like last year they showed enough glimpses to where I think they'll be better than what JTA was this season and Damian Lee was, and even Bielitsa, who wasn't very good for long stretches of the season. Like, I would take all those minutes and give them to those two guys. I'm pretty confident that they'd be okay in those minutes at the very least. With Wiseman, I don't feel like we could pencil in any minutes for him at all. I would pencil him for 0 minutes. And played basketball 2 years. When he's been on the floor, he hasn't been good. To no fault of his own, because he was on a bad team. And he also didn't play, right? He didn't play last season. So I wouldn't count on him at all. The Clay stuff is interesting, though.
I think, in general, I'm going to split the difference. I think he's going to be marginally better. I'm not expecting him to be what he was pre-injury, but I do think he'll be better than he was last year, and I'm excited to see how that
looks. Yeah, the only guy that I feel like it's going to age better than Steph from a size skill perspective is probably Clay, right? It's just his role's easier, obviously. He doesn't have to carry an offense, but big, could shoot, smart, and he got better defensively as the season ended, actually. He got better guarding Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and those guys as that series was ending. He got better in the series every time he played. He got better guarding Luka the deeper that series went. So, yeah, I actually am pretty optimistic about Clay. It got very weird at the end of the season where you just felt like, man, this guy's playing the most amount of minutes on the team, and you just never felt like it was an injury concern, right? Even with Steph, when he's playing high minutes and he hasn't been injured in a while, especially that ankle, we're just like, oh, my God. He just twisted his ankle, right? You remember Steph twisted that ankle after one of the games, and you're just like, oh, my God, is he okay? And it's been like 8 years since he's had like legitimate ankle issues. I just don't feel like that's going to happen with Clay, right? It just feels like he's going to play like 70 games if he could next season. And
man, I agree. All right, a couple more calls and then we're done. Jason, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on, bro?
What's up? I want to talk about the little like, route that Patrick Baldwin's career could go more on the optimistic side. You guys talked about a little bit earlier how Kevon Looney kind of came into the league as kind of like a forward hybrid sort of thing. I just wanted to supplement that a little bit. Patrick Baldwin's like 6'9", 220 listed right now, and Kevon Looney coming out was 6'9", 222. So just something I thought was pretty interesting, and that's something that we could look forward to, maybe, perhaps. And then more so on the topic of expectations for this year coming up, I think we're in like a unique position because you of course don't want to get complacent after you win a championship, but most of our complacency, it doesn't really lie in like finding new players. I think so much of our roster can get better themselves, like with all the young guys and stuff. So I think, it's a pretty optimistic look on this year. And I think back-to-back is imminent. I just want to know what you guys think.
Imminent.
So, Jason, fantastic. I love it. And you are right, and that's like kind of what I don't want to say it sucks because it doesn't suck. But like from a content standpoint, we're talking about the draft, And like, I can talk myself into Patrick Baldwin being exciting, but what matters next year is Moses Moody.
Yes.
It's Jonathan Kuminga. Patrick Baldwin's a guy that like, it feels like baseball. It's like when you draft a guy and you're like 2024, baby, you know, like that sort of thing, right? Like yeah. It's like, but the players who are going to make the difference next year are Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, the guys we already have on the roster. So
I mean, Jordan Poole, even. I mean, Jordan Poole yeah. and Andrew Wiggins, like those are two guys that Jordan Poole especially can get better. I mean, he's 22 freaking 2 years old. We'll see if he gets this contract extension, but he's someone that, you know, coming into this season, we didn't know who he was going to be, right? We thought he was going to be good, but maybe not this good. So next season, even better. And then Andrew Wiggins was, he went up a level in the postseason. Does he keep that up in the regular season moving forward? Or is he, you know, is he in the vet stage of his career where Andrew Wiggins is going to be relaxing in the regular season, which is fine. But yeah, I'm with you, man. There's just a lot of internal growth, which is why, you know, it'd be nice if the Warriors sign a PJ Tucker or a Nick Batum or something like that, even if it's unlikely. But I think there's a lot of players on this team that can kind of play in those roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? We'll be back next week. We'll figure out how free agency goes. Like, cause that's like more imminent to all of this, but you know what? There's one guy we got to end the show with.
Yes.
Yo, yo, what's up, guys?
Luke Walters, what's up, bro?
Not much. I love the draft geek here, but you know, there's not much you can talk about.
We're both draft guys, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's like, let's dive in right before. You know, but that's all we're doing too, is watching YouTube. It's like, what the hell do I know? That being said, who would you sacrifice from our list of free agents to clear up a roster spot for like a Rollins, right? Or to clear up a roster spot for one of those Batum type guys? Who's on your short list of like, yeah, it was nice to have you here, I'm glad you were at the parade, but hey, see ya. Is it a JTA? Is it Lee? Is it Bielitsa? Or do you, or either of you worried about one of the bigger contributors just walking because they got an offer that we couldn't stomach for some reason?
I mean,
it's nice that we have Baldwin. It's nice that we picked up some guys. But what do you guys think about that?
All right, McWalters, appreciate you calling. I mean, if it's not about money, it's got to be Lee or JTA. Sorry, it just does. And then you can throw Bielitsa. And, like, it comes down to, you know, are we talking about a guard, a wing, or a big? Because all three of those guys were useful rotation pieces, but they're kind of end of the bench, right?
Yeah.
So if you're talking about like taking someone, one of those, you know, it sucks, but it is what it is.
Yep. I'm with you 100% of the way. End of the day, as we get out of here, I like the draft. I like the type of traits that they went for today. So pretty cool, man. I think the Warriors are in a good place. There's no complaints. And then we'll be back
next week.
We will. Appreciate it all.